Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have an extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio program and MP3 files. You'll also find a host of other Bible-related material. There's Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, that you can download and examine at your leisure, and a host of other Bible-related material, and we hope you'll take advantage of that site and go out there and look at it and take some information, and it will also give you some information about us. Again, we're hoping very soon that we are going to be meeting together again. When those meeting times come, you'll be given the meeting times at the end of this broadcast. We hope that we will be doing that very soon, and we will let you know on our website when we have reconvened a meeting in our assemblies, and we hope that when that time comes that you avail yourself to come and be with us at that time. Last week, we began a study of the subject of the gospel changes man, and we ended up last week looking at the biblical heart. And we want to read one more passage about that before we start looking more closely into that. In Acts 15, verse 8 and 9, the scripture says, "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledges them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Now again, I can't read the heart. You can't read the heart. I can't read another person's mind, and you can't read my mind. But God can. God knows what's in man's heart. God knows what man's going to do before he does it, because he knows his heart. Now, that doesn't mean that man can be programmed, and that God could program him, but God did not program him. God left it up to him how he would use his heart and how he would use it in his service to God. And so, what needs to change? Man needs to change. But change has to begin in his heart. It has to begin in his mind. And that's how the gospel changes him. So, that being the case, man is marred by sin. He is now in a relationship that is marred, and he has to be reconciled back to his Creator, and he has to be brought back into fellowship. And the means of doing that is the gospel of Christ. And so the gospel of Christ is aimed at the heart of man in order to bring about that change. Now, let's begin to look at what a man has to change concerning his heart. I want to begin by reminding you of a passage in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. In Genesis chapter 6, we have the account of the flood begins. But why was the flood brought upon the earth? Well, verse 5 tells us, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and his every intent of his thoughts of his heart were only on evil continually." You see, his heart was on evil continually. He was thinking evil, therefore he was doing evil. And God determined that that evil had to be punished. But you see, he was thinking. He was formulating things in his mind, and that's because man has the ability to think. He has the ability to think, and he can use his mind and think things that are incorrect and sinful. In the 23rd Proverb, in verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." You see, as we think in our heart, so are we. Our actions are going to mirror what we think about. It's going to mirror what we think about in our mind is going to produce our actions. And so the gospel is aimed at man's intellect, in his thinking capacity. It also is aimed at his ability to reason. In Mark 2 and verse 8, the scripture says, "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason these things in your heart? In other words, why do you reason these things in your mind? Why do you try to find some kind of fault with me and reason that my actions are sinful? You see, that's because that's man's intellect, his ability to think, his ability to reason. And that leads to his ability to understand. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, and in verse 15, Jesus refers to a prophecy that was fulfilled by the Jews who were rejecting him. He said in verse 15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I can heal them." You see, with the heart, with the mind, man believes, he understands. He comes to understand. He can think, he can reason, and then after his thinking and reasoning takes him to a place, then he can gain understanding. And that understanding can lead to belief. After one sermon in Acts chapter 8, in verse 37, the eunuch and Philip preached to him Jesus, beginning in Isaiah 53, and they came to a certain body of water, and he said, "Here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he believed and made the good confession. But what did he believe? He believed the things that were presented to him. You see, he thought about the things that Stephen had explained to him about Isaiah 53. He reasoned that out by looking at Isaiah, by listening to the words of Philip, and he reasoned, and then he came to understand that Isaiah was talking about the Lord. And that understanding led him to believe the things that he was thinking about by the things that were presented to him. And so in the beginning, the gospel is aimed at man's intellect, his ability to think, his ability to reason through things, to discern what he's heard, to discern what he thinks about the information that's given to him. And then he can come to understand it. And if he doesn't understand it, he can ask for clarification. But then when he understands it, then he's going to make a decision. And then his intellect is going to cause him to make a decision. To do what? He's going to have to either believe it, what he's heard, or he rejects it. But God leaves that entirely up to him. And so the gospel is aimed at man's intellect in order to get him to think, to reason, to understand, and hopefully believe what he has heard. But then we go to man's will, what he plans and what he intends to do. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 12, Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 12. "For the word of God is living and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a heart." You see, man has thoughts. He has intentions. What is he going to do? That's his will. What am I going to do with my life? That has to do with my intentions, my will, my planning. In 2 Corinthians 9, in talking about our giving, we're told that it has to be a planned thing. It's something that we have thought about, something that we've given thought to. So let each one give as he is purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves us a cheerful giver. Our giving to God must be with purpose. It must be planned. It must be something that we want to do, something that we have given thought to. And what does that planning and that intention and that purpose, what does it lead to? Hopefully, to execute obedience. In Romans chapter 6, in verse number 17, the scripture says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." You see, man's will. The gospel is aimed at man's will, what he's planning to do, what he intends to do, what he purposes that he's going to do with his life, and hopefully that means to execute obedience. And so the gospel is aimed at man's intellect, and then it's aimed at his will of what he plans to do with what he's heard and what he knows to be true, and then we move into his will. And then from his will, we move into his emotions. In Romans 10, verse 1, the Apostle Paul made a statement about his desire for his countrymen. In chapter 10, in verse 1, Paul said, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He had a desire that his countrymen be saved. That was his heartfelt desire. That's what he wanted. And in Matthew chapter 22, when the Jews asked the Lord, "What is the first and great commandment?" He said, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul." And then in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse number 5, in Proverbs chapter 3, and in verse number 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding." And so, not only is the gospel aimed at man's intellect, at his will, but it's also aimed at his emotion, to get the desire in the right place, that his desire should be on spiritual things. His desire should be on God. His desire should be on doing the things that God wants him to do in order to be pleasing to God. And then he must change his affiliation. His emotion must be first on God. He must love God supremely. He must love God more than he loves anything else. He's got to have first place in his heart. And that desire that he has to serve God, that love that he has for God, that will cause him to trust God. And he'll trust God and have confidence in God that when he does the things that God has asked him, that's the best direction for his life to go. And so, you see, the heart of man is changed when the gospel is aimed at his heart. And it aims at his heart to change his intellect, his attention, and his emotion. And how's that brought about? That's brought about by what he determines to do in his heart. And how, you see, the Bible is designed in his intellect. We are to think those things in 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 10 of the second chapter, it says, "For the letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but bodily and present." Excuse me, it's verse 5. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ." You see, God is wanting us to use our thinking, our intellect, in order to come to a knowledge and understanding of the truth. He wants us to reason together with him, as he gave the Jews the opportunity in Isaiah 1, verse 18. And he wants that intellect, he wants that thinking and that reasoning to produce faith in our life. "For without faith, it's impossible to please God," Hebrews 11 and 6. "Unless you believe in him, you will die in your sin," John 8, verse 24. "And faith is produced by the word of God," Romans 10, 17. So the gospel is aimed at man's intellect, in his thinking, his reasoning, to produce faith in his life that he might be obedient to the things that God would have him to do. Next week, we'll look a little deeper at how the heart is attacked by God in order to bring about change.